Thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We thank you that the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding to those of a simple heart. Today we come before you. We humble ourselves. We pray that you'd speak to us. We pray that you'd reveal what you've prepared for us today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Right. If you've got your Bible, maybe it's a cell phone Bible or it's a real Bible. I'm still an old timer. Say, this is my Bible. Okay, let's do it again. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. You hear that? Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter even if it's electronic, you better be what it says you are. Right, let's go straight into the Word this morning. Matthew 13, verse 1. If you've got your Bible, go with me to Matthew 13, verse 1. The Bible says, in that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great crowds were gathered to him, so that he went into a boat and sat. And all the crowd stood on the shore, and he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow. I am sowing the word today. I'm the sower, sowing the word. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they sprang up immediately. Why? Because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, and the sun rising, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Okay? And some fell on the good ground and yielded fruit. Indeed, one 100-fold, and 160, and 130. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Now, if you are catching us today for the first time, you find us doing part two of a teaching that we entitled, How to Respond to the Word. How to respond to the Word. There are ways in which we respond to the Word. And the way you respond to the Word determines how fruitful it becomes in your life. So you can have two people sitting in the church hearing the same word, but when they go out, they have different outcomes. Okay, you can have the same two children being raised in the same family. One ends up in a prison down the road. Another one goes into a hospital and becomes a surgeon. What's the issue here? Is how they responded to what they were taught at home. The same thing applies in our churches today. The way you respond to the word that you receive Sunday in, Sunday out, determines how you're going to be fruitful, and how much fruit will come due to the word. How do you respond to the word? So let's recap. If you go onto our website, godchurchpretoria.co.za, under the sermons page, you'll find this teaching 2 weeks ago. Last week, we're doing a different teaching. So we learned that there are four ways in which one can respond to the word. There are four ways in which one can respond to the word. And we said this parable does not need a lot of interpretation. Why? Because the Lord Jesus gave the parable and then he interpreted it himself. All we need to do is to carefully look at the interpretation in order to apply it into our lives. So the way you respond is largely dependent on the state of your heart. As I'm teaching right now, what's the state of your heart? Are you in a place where you're saying, I want to hear what that young man is going to say? Or I want to hear what that old man is going to say? Or you're going to say, you know what, when is it going to be done? Wow, that's a way of responding. Now, four ways of responding to the word. And all of this is determined by the state of your heart. Number one, last week we said the soil type number one is the highway soil. The highway soil. This person hears the word but does not understand the word. This person does not pay attention to the word. Comes into one ear, goes out the other. That's a highway hearer. Number two, we spoke about the stony soil. This guy is excited about the word. This is the guy, I don't know if you've been to those churches. This is the guy that runs around when the word is being preached. This is the guy who finishes the pastor's sentences for him. This is the guy who runs to the front with an offering like, oh, that's a powerful revelation. So the word springs up. It grows very quickly. But the moment this person is subjected to hardships, he questions the word. When persecution comes as a result of the word, this person argues with the word. This person gets offended by the word. This person says, well, this is who I am. That's how we speak in my family. My mom is short-tempered. My grandma was short-tempered. My great-great-grandma was short-tempered. Therefore, it runs in the blood. But the word says, anger does not glorify God. That's a stony soil. So this person does not have roots. He hears the word, but quickly gets offended by the word when the word starts challenging his lifestyle or her lifestyle. Now, let's explore the last two types of soils. Matthew 13, verse 22. Now, Jesus now is explaining the third type of soil. This is the thorny type of soil. Now, he says, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So this is the third hearer. This is the thorny hearer. He hears the word. So soil type number three, the thorny soil. The thorny soil. So the thorny hearer is better than the highway hearer, is better than the stony hearer. Why? This person has got some level of root system that develops. This person believes the word. This person is found in Bible studies. This person does not miss any discipleship program. This person is available. This person, even when he faces persecution in his life, he doesn't discard his profession. He doesn't get offended when hardships come his way or when persecution comes his way. In the eyes of the highway hearer, in the eyes of the stony hearer, this guy is doing fine. This guy is doing some theological courses. Well, my wife is doing some theological courses. I know a couple of some of you are doing them here. This is the person who's doing further studies. And it's all great. Well done, thorny hearer. Well, what's the problem with the thorny hearer? The thorny hearer has got one major problem. And this major problem is what we call the cares of this world. The thorny hearer does not struggle with persecution. He can stand his ground when he's being persecuted, but he's got a weak link in the system. This person struggles with the cares of this world. These are the thorns that choke the life out of the word. They choke the life out of the taught word. You see, the thorny hearer sits under the ministry of the word. But from time to time, his mind wanders about. From time to time, as the sower sows the seed, the thorny hearer starts thinking about the unpaid bills. Come on now. From time to time, the thorny hearer starts thinking of, I left my fridge empty. What am I going to eat when I get back home? The thorny hearer thinks about the foreshadowing accounts that are overdue. And the thorny hearer struggles during this season of COVID. You see, when you talk about the cares of this world, it doesn't matter how born again Christian you are subjected to them. All of us, we are concerned about our rent that we need to pay. We are concerned about the mortgage that has been outstanding for a couple of months. We are concerned about the new vehicle that has been driving me crazy in my heart. I want that car or I want that new bike. If you're a cyclist, like me, I'm believing God for a new bike. Can somebody speak? Can God speak to one of you here? Come and say, Pastor, I heard you talking about the bike. You see, all of us are subjected to the cares of this world. Because you are in the world, you will worry about your child. You will worry about whether when they grow up, will they be able to find a job in this country? Come on now. You worry about your job security right now. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But we're going to unpack this matter. What is Jesus talking about when he says the cares of this world choke the system? There is a blockage that comes into the pipeline that needs to deliver water. What is going on here? Pastor, are you saying there's anything wrong with me thinking about the business deal I'm about to strike in this week? No, if you are like me, if there's a major thing that I'm about to engage in, I get consumed by it. I think about it. I talk about it. And my wife has to tell me to stop. I will talk about it over and over and over until she says, can we talk about something else? I know you guys are different. But as a man, I get consumed by business deals. I go over them over and over and over again. But is there a problem with that? Now, I mean, think about holidays. We can't wait for holiday places to open up. Some of you have got timeshares that you haven't gone to in the past 12 months. You're like, I can't wait for this place to open. I want to go to Balito. I like Balito. So you get consumed by these things. And Jesus is saying a thorny hearer chokes the word because the cares of the world are infiltrating and taking over space little by little. You see, if you are to visit a field that has a crop and thorns are growing around it, you find that the thorns entangle the crop. The thorns trouble the crop. The thorns make it uncomfortable to even walk around the crop. Why? Because the thorns are not easy to deal with. It's important that we understand what is going on here. The cares of this world, the fees we need to pay, the food, the shelter, the cars, the cares of this world, if we pursue them outside of God, they will choke the spiritual life out of us. And this is what Jesus is talking about. You see, there's always been a high expectation whenever you move into a next bracket of your life. You see, when you were 20, the expectations had to do with people around 20. You move into the 30s, people start asking you, how far? When are you moving into the new area? By now, you should be owning a house. By now, you should be. Now we live in the should world, and that creates so much pressure. When there's pressure around you, you won't be able to see clearly in certain things. Look at Matthew 6, verse 28. I'm going somewhere this morning. Now Jesus is talking, and he says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Well, why are you anxious about clothing? You know, we're moving into summer now. Okay? You start thinking about changing the wardrobe. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Put your name there. Will he not much more clothe you, or you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?
Verse 32. For the Gentiles seek after these things. For the Gentiles seek after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. When we put things in their right order, things will start working for us. Jesus is saying, I know you need clothes. I know you need fees for your children. I know you haven't been able to honor certain obligations. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So when we pursue kingdom, things will follow us. When we pursue things, things will run away. Now, worrying about stuff eats up our energy, which we should be spending on other things. I want you to know this morning that every time you worry about something, you're losing or you're wasting an opportunity for prayer. Every time you worry about an issue, you are wasting an opportunity to pray. That's why the Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart. So when you substitute worry with prayer, you introduce yourself to the shalom of God, to the peace of Jehovah. Now, what are the signs? What are the signs that show that you are being affected by the cares of this world? What are the indicators? I want to put these blips into your spirit man right now. And I want you to take a test for yourself. Do an examination on yourself. And say, do I see some of this in my life? If you do, it might mean that after receiving the word, and the word wants to produce fruit, you're choking the word by these things. Number one, when you possess selfish ambitions, when there is selfish ambition in your life, there is nothing wrong with being ambitious. But there is a problem when everything has to do with you. When it's all about you. Wishing to possess or achieve so many things in a short space of time. You want to get the car, the house, this and this and this in 1 year. Okay? Something starts driving you. When you are in that state, you get consumed by your ambitions. And I want to ask you a question today. Are you in that space? Number two, when you fail to achieve these things, a lack of achievement leads to discontentment. It leads to ungratefulness. And to think that God has not done you good. Have you been to that place where there is, after you've not been able to register for that degree program, you then paint your whole world by the failure of registering at UNISA? Come on now. The fact that you are not able to get that promotion this year, you then paint your entire world in line with that lack of promotion, resulting in discontentment, in being ungrateful, and thinking that God has done you a raw deal. What's the issue here? Lack of achievement leads you to that place where you're agitated. You shipwreck your faith because of one blip in the system. I'm talking about just one area that hasn't worked. And that what the devil wants to do is for you to focus on what has not worked, whereas many other things are working. Your children are healthy. You have good health. You have a good marriage. You are alive. Hallelujah. But because there wasn't a promotion that you so much wanted, then everything else has become sour. Number three, are you envious of other people's achievements? You're coveting, you're desiring. You know, the Bible said, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's property. When you find your heart being inclined to wanting what other people have and wanting to know, how did they achieve that? How did they get that? Do they think I cannot do that? You know, when you want to catch up with the Johns all the time, maybe the cares of this world are choking the word in your life, coveting other people's achievements. You know, the neighbor, whenever you see something changing at your house, they come greet you. They want to see what you have just acquired for yourself. Maybe it's you. Okay? Oh, God help us. Coveting other people's achievements. Number four, when you start shunning contributing financially to God's work and a general increase in stinginess, when it's about me, give me, give me, give me, my name is Jimmy. Okay? You just want to receive. You're finding it difficult to release that which is in your hands. Because you think, man, you want me to give 10% of what? Do you know what I can do with that 10%? I believe in the 10% principle. But the moment you look at the 10% you give to the Lord, you're saying, do you know what I can get with that 10%? I can do this and this and this and this and this. The cares of this world will choke the word. Put this down. Cares of this world will sidetrack us from duty. Cares of this world will distract us when we are doing the duties of the Lord. Cares of this world will quench our passion for the things of God. If you can give me that slide. There's something that happens when the cares of this world take over certain things in our lives. So cares of this world sidetrack us from duty, distract us in our duty, and quenches our passion for the things of God. So, so important. You see, when you start disregarding times of prayer, when you start disregarding your daily routine with the Lord, these are indicators that we need to do something about our situation. Now, one would think that the moment you get all of these things, therefore everything is fine. I can pursue God because the bills are covered. The children are going to the good schools. I'm able to get what I want. One would think that after all of these things are taken care of, the word will become fruitful. Well, not so quick. Not so quick. The moment one has made progress, a thorny hearer is overtaken by trusting in the newly found riches. You got everything. The Lord has promoted you. The Lord has increased you. You are trusting for marriage. The Lord has given you a spouse. You're like, oh God, how did I find this one? Lord, you love me so much. She's so amazing. He's so great. You would think that after you have received all of these things you are pursuing, then our love for God will skyrocket. Do you know that what was meant to be a blessing can become a curse? Whereby you trust in what you have acquired. Where you start trusting in your experience at work. Where you say, because I've got 15 years of experience, I can walk in any job and I'll get it. Well, because I went to UP, University of Pretoria, I'll apply for any job and I'll get it. Well, because I've got so much heritage around me, I've got nothing to worry about. The Bible says the deceitfulness of riches will choke the word. Wealth and riches present another set of thorns in one's heart. And I want to ask you this morning, why are you so confident about tomorrow? Is it because of where you were born? You know, back in the days we talk about he was born on the wrong side of the tracks. All right? Is it because of the province where you come from? Gauteng, place of gold, Johannesburg. The question is, the moment we start trusting in what we possess, we are now becoming idolatrous in our view to life. Those things become idols, and God says, I'm a jealous God. Why am I confident about tomorrow? Is it because I'm married to an intelligent woman?
Yes.
Sadly, we trust in the arm of the flesh. Go and read Jeremiah 17 from verse 6. He says, woe to the man who trusts in other people, who trusts in the flesh. For he shall be like a shrub that is growing in the desert. When opportunity comes, this person will not see it. This person will wilt away. Further down, I think verse 8 or 9 says, but blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the riverside. This one shall not wilt. This one will give forth fruit. This one will not worry whether there is sun or there is no sun. He is planted in the Lord. Glory be to God. Now, a thorny hearer convinces himself that he does not need faith anymore. I'm sorted. When this person did not have, they were found in the house of the Lord every Sunday. But now that this thing has come, Pastor, don't you know I've got a business to run? Don't you know I need to go to the golf course where I make deals? There's nothing wrong with that, but there is a time for everything. Hallelujah. There is a time for everything. When God calls you, will you say yes to the Lord? Or will you say, I'm just busy? Put this down. It is not so much the riches themselves, but it is the deception of trusting in the riches that makes the word unfair. There's nothing wrong with riches. The Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Because when you love money so much, you then say the end justifies the means. It doesn't matter how I get it, as long as I get it. So it is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And I'm saying it is the deceit of riches, whereby, as it was in the days of Noah, where everybody was rejoicing and feasting, and Noah was saying, let's build the ark. And they're like, listen, man, we are busy. Well, that was soil type number 3. Let's quickly go through soil type number 4. Soil type number 4. This is the good soil. The good soil. And the desire of God is that all of us would be that type of soil. That is rich. The type of soil that when it receives the good seed, something happens. Matthew 13, 23. But that sown on the good ground is this. He who hears the word and understands, who also bears fruit and produces one truly 100-fold and 160 and 130. Now listen, whenever good word finds good soil, the result is always good fruit. Whenever good word finds good soil, the result is good fruit. Sometimes you might be having good soil, but you receive bad seed, the fruit won't be great. There are times where you've got an innocent child of God who is open to receive the word, but the pastor is delivering something that is not true. When you receive word, you've got to be able to test and say, is this actually doctrinally sound? There are certain teachers that we should not be entertaining because they don't give good seed. Come on now. Now, I want you to realize this morning that fruit distinguishes true Christians from pseudo-Christians. Fruit distinguishes true Christians from pseudo-professing Christians. So when somebody comes into my life, do they find fruit, firstly? Secondly, what type of fruit are they finding? And this morning, I want to ask you a question. You've been in the Lord for 15 years. Well done, my sister. But the fruit that is coming out, is it in line with the 15 years of being in the Lord? There's a statement that I gave a couple of months or weeks ago where I said, it's not about the number of years you've been in the Lord. It's about the amount of God that has been in the years. You might have been 20 years in the Lord, but put together, it's only 1 year experience with the Lord. Or you might be only 5 years with Jesus, but when put together, your experience with Jesus goes beyond 15 years. And I want to ask you a question this morning. How much of God has been in your years since you gave your life to Jesus? John 15, verse 16. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. I chose you. So Jesus chose me so that I can bear much fruit, fruit that will last. So when you bear fruit, something happens. Whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you. So the moment I become a fruitful Christian, it triggers the heavens to open up. Glory be to God. The Lord is saying, I can trust this one because he will produce of my kind. Now, I want you to realize something, that this good ground we are talking about is not immune to the issue of hardness of heart. This good soil I'm talking about is not immune to the stony nature of the soil. It's not immune to the thorns. So when I look at every child of God, none of us are immune to the issues that we find in the world. You'll experience some hardness. You'll experience some stoniness. You'll experience some thorns in your life. But what is the difference? True believers, put this down. True believers are not entirely free from the residue of sin, but are gladly freed from its reign. When you are a true believer, you'll be tempted. When you are a true believer, you'll experience stuff in your life, but because Jesus is alive in you, sin will have no control over you. In this world, you shall have trouble. In this world, we'll face all sorts of things. We are not yet in heaven. Can I remind somebody today? This is not heaven. You don't work with believers, even when you work with believers. Sometimes the most difficult of people are the so-called believers, them brothers. Oh, guys, come on now, let's talk about it. Do you think at Home Affairs there are no Christians? Did I say that? Sorry, Hanley. Love you, my sister, with all my heart. I mean, you visit the clinic down the road. Do you think none of those nurses are Christians? The way they treat you last night. Next thing you see her, she's an usher in the house of the Lord. You're like, what? If this one goes to heaven, I'm going to ride my bike straight into heaven. Well, Christians can be difficult. Now, what are the signs of a good soil hearer? What are the signs of a good soil hearer? There has to be some signs. There has to be some indicators as we draw close to an end. Number one, good soil hearers hears the word and seeks to understand it. If you are a good soil hearer, you hear the word and you seek to understand it. And you get yourself concerned about it. So when I hear the word and the pastor is busy talking about Greek, he's got these Greek words he's pulling up. What I'll do, I'll go home and I'll do a study to understand. I'll be like the Berean church. The Berean church was one of the churches in the early church times. It was a church that was so given to the study of the word that whenever the apostles were finished with teaching the word, not that they did not trust the apostles. The Bible says they would go back home and search the scriptures to see whether what was being taught was actually in line with the scriptures. And saints, we need to do that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with fact-checking your pastor's sermon. Was that actually right? Was that actually true? You know, pastors, sometimes we throw stats around. Like, yeah, 15% of this, 15% of this. You didn't even check yourself. And then There is somebody who knows that's in the church. Well, so the good soil hearer hears the word and they seek to understand. Number two, the good soil hearer openly accepts the word and leaves no room to debate the truthfulness of the word. Now, just give me that slide, please. So he openly accepts the word and leaves no room in her heart to debate its truthfulness. Now, I want you to hear me correctly here. When you look at this person, I'm not saying every teaching is correct, but when you are exposed to the truth, you do not debate with the truth. All right? You leave no room in your heart to debate the truth. The word of God is the ultimate authority in the life of this person. And this is a good soil hearer. I want you to know that the word is not always there to tickle us. There are so many times that you'll hear an offensive teaching. Maybe you're being offended by my teaching right now. If you're a good hearer, you'll take it in. You're like, ouch, ain't I, right? But you take it in and you say, Lord, work on my heart. Change me. Transform me. I don't like what he's saying, but I know it's your word and I want to submit myself to the word. That's a good soil hearer. Number three, a good soil hearer obeys the word of God, and the word is his master and he is its servant. That's a good soil hearer. You see, the word says to us, just before you make that big deposit into the church account, hint, you remember that your brother has something against you. The Bible says, before you give, go and make right. Then you can come and give. A good soil hearer says, Lord, search my heart. I'm about to offer right now. I don't want to waste, because sometimes we waste seed by just giving at a place where we will not get back because we're not giving aright. Now, the Bible says, before you bring your offering here and you remember that John has got an issue with me, he says, put it down, go and make right, and then come and give. The good soil hearer listens to the word and tries by all means to do what it says. It's not easy. John 14, verse 23, in the NLT, Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. All who love me will follow my commandments in other versions. My Father will love them, and we will come and make an abode. That's other versions. We'll come and make our home with each of them. Can you imagine carrying Jesus with you wherever you are? Nobody can touch you. Nobody can overcome you. But the starting point is you obey. Right? The next thing, a good soil hearer puts the word into practice and has an attitude that says, if he said it, it settles it. We put the word in practice. When you go to the book of James, it talks about don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. The question is, how much of word have we practiced? When we hear the word, a good soil hearer goes back home and do a self-introspection and say, I want to do that. I want to try that. I will err on the side of trying rather than sit back and not doing what the word says. You see, every person that runs his life in line with the word received will always produce a word type of fruit. Every person. I think of a person like Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'm not going to read the scripture. But when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and say, you're highly favored woman, okay, and out of you, something of God will be born. And Mary said, how can this be? I don't even know a man. And then she was about to lose her chance. Until she then said, let it be done unto me according to your word. And the Bible says the angel departed. I believe that it was in that moment that the seed was planted in her womb. when she said, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." You find that in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. The last sign of a good soil hearer. The good soil hearer applies his mind. You see, I've got a problem. Can I confess? I've got a problem with, not you guys, you guys are different. The other churches I used to attend years ago, we had this phenomenon of Christians who are directors at work, Christians who are managers at work, Christians who are scientists at work. But the moment they come through church, they leave their brains, they left their brains outside the door of the church. So you sit there looking for competence. You're looking for ability. You're looking for people who can do. I mean, we had auditors in that church, man. We had CAs in that church. But we struggled with managing our finances. Because Christians left their brains outside the door. But you guys are different. Come on, I'll say amen. I'm talking about applying our minds to the word. And be able to interrogate what we're reading. And to intelligently apply what the word says. And be able to say, I've got this skill. How does this skill come into the church? And create a very strong synergy. In order to make the house of God the most excellent place that anybody can find. Our offices are great. But when we come to the house of God, you've got internal decors. People who can do stuff like that, but the house of God looks like a mess. Why? Oh, Pastor, that is secular stuff. This is sacred. But a good soil hearer applies their minds. They allow their minds to be renewed. And they are transformed. And they are able to walk. And they show forth the glory of God. When people look at them, they see the glory of God. You know, this is what we need to do. When people look at us, they must see the glory of God. They must see excellence. They should be able to say, you know what? I don't really understand the stuff he talks about, but I like what I see in his life. I like the way he does things. This man is a man of excellence. This woman, when she speaks sense. Why? She applies her mind to the word, and that word changes and filters what comes out of her mouth. Glory be to God. 45 minutes. Hallelujah. Yes! She made it. What is the point here? Akhira, you can just come up and do what God has called you to do. Right, what are we talking about this morning? We're talking about how to respond to the word. There is a way that you should respond to the word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now. I pray for your people. I pray that this word will not leave them the same. I pray that something of God would happen in each and every heart this morning. Father, I pray that you deliver us from religion and introduce us to relationship. Lord, we pray today that you'd awaken something in our hearts. Lord, I pray for that one whose heart has grown cold towards your word. I pray that there's a reconnection with the word of God. I pray that they'll be able to respond correctly to the word. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you the praise and give you the honor in Jesus' name. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, I want to give somebody an opportunity this morning. One of the reasons why I would ask people to close their eyes is so that you know that it's now between you and God. I want you to Think about your life right now and say, where am I regarding my relationship with Jesus? Do I have a relationship with Jesus, or I've just been religious? Today I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you on the cross. If you are here right now and you're saying, Lord Jesus, I want a new start. Lord Jesus, I am carrying so much in my heart and I don't know where to offload this stuff. Jesus is saying, I died for you on the cross so that I can carry that burden. I can carry that sin. If you are here right now and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity right now. You can just lift your hand. I won't ask you to stand up. Lift your hand and we will pray with you. You want to commit your life to Jesus this morning. And Jesus is saying, I've been waiting for you. If you're like that, just lift your hands and I will pray with you. Or you want to recommit your life to the Lord. You look at how things have been going on and you're saying, I had drifted away from my Lord. But today, I want to make a recommitment of saying, Jesus, come again and do what your Lord can do. If you're like that, just lift your hands and I'll pray with you. Thank you. I can see those two hands lifted. Is there anyone else who is saying, Lord Jesus, I want a new start. Thank you. Can put your hands down. I want us to join those who have lifted their hands, and I want all of us to pray after me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I have heard your word, and I believe that you died for me on the cross, and on the third day you rose from the dead. You are alive today, so I welcome you into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. From today onwards, I belong to you and you belong to me. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to walk this journey. Thank you, Lord, for making me a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come, let's clap our hands.